Now, the rest of the story. Mr. Charles Dickens, sir, it's happened more than once. In Hollywood also. In 1940, it was the best of times and the worst of times. Theatrical stars of the first magnitude included Gable and Garbo and Judy Garland. America was tapping its toes to the music of Cole Porter and Irving Berlin and Rodgers and Hart and the Duke of Ellington. Americans were singing You Are My Sunshine, How High the Moon, Oh Johnny, Blueberry Hill, and When You Wish Upon a Star. And it's a big, wide, wonderful world. And so it was. In the Hollywood in 1940, it was the best of times. Walt Disney had produced something called Fantasia, sprinkled with stardust. Gone with the Wind demonstrated a new dimension in the filmmaker's art. At the same time, The Wizard of Oz was demonstrating another facet of filmland's genius. Broadway was still Broadway, but Hollywood was capturing the entertainment world with Citizen Kane and How Green Was My Valley and The Marx Brothers. Broadway was keeping itself alive with Noel Coward's Blithe Spirit and Robert Sherwood's There Shall Be No Night. But this magic time between the stage and TV was the heyday for Hollywood. Ninotchka with Garbo, Goodbye Mr. Chips with Robert Donat, Stagecoach with John Ford. Within the space of one phenomenal year, Grapes of Wrath and Gaslight, The Great Dictator and Rebecca. Then why did I suggest that it was the best of times and the worst? Well, behind the glitter and glamour and lavish living of the cinema elite, there was a sordid side to the Hollywood of 1940. Backstage has never been beautiful, but the excesses of Tinseltown bred a degree of depravity that the industry is still trying to forget. For the young ingenue seeking her first opportunity, lecherous producers were likely to conduct auditions on what came to be known as the casting couch. There, young women, and not a few young men, bartered their bodies for a foothold on the ladder to the stars. Cynics said it was the only way to get a job. It was not, but it was a very common way. One afternoon in 1940, a young actress was in the office of a motion picture producer, and the older man was taking off his clothing. Clearly, she was about to be seduced, perhaps raped. She had lived a very protected life. Rarely went anywhere unaccompanied by her mother or other chaperone. And yet on this occasion, she's in this office with a man many years her senior, and he's taking his trousers off. And then he removed his undershorts. The ultimately innocent girl in all of her life had seen only one person naked, herself. And when she saw this man naked, what she saw looked so funny that she started to laugh, and she laughed, and she laughed, and her eyes were filling with tears of laughter, and she continued laughing until the man, humiliated and angry, yanked on his clothing and ordered her out of his office. And she left, still laughing. Was that girl genuinely amused at what she saw? Or was she just very wise for her years? Or perhaps just a very good actress? For she was that. For she was an experienced actress, though she was only 12 years old. The incident I've just described happened 48 years ago in the Hollywood office of an MGM executive. The girl was Shirley Temple. And now you know the rest of the story.